Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 11, where we see Pastor Dave talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, both in the church, in the Bible times, but also how he speaks to us today is a testament for how he works in and through our lives as we wait for the promise of his coming. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 11.
But I believe that we have tasted of this fulfillment of prophecy to some degree already. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Can I tell you something? This is already happening right now. We're experiencing, and by word, I'm a part of this. The Lord has been speaking to me through visions. God has been giving me visions that go along with his word. Nothing crazy. I'm not Joseph Smith. Don't get worried. I don't have any new doctrines, nothing extra biblical to present to you tonight. But God has been giving me visions. Without vision, the people perish. God has been speaking to my heart. I'm a young man. And then he's been giving Pastor Larry, who's an old man, dreams lately. That might be what he's eating before bed. But he's speaking to the church in all sincerity. These things we're seeing already, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids in verse 29. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. God is seeking to look to pour out his spirit tonight. You got to believe that. It says it here. You remember back when Noah was waiting to see if they could get out of the ark after the Lord let those torrential rains come down upon the earth and he flooded the whole thing. What did he do? He released a dove, right? And the dove, when the land still wasn't dry and ready for them to get out, he came back. There's nowhere to land his feet. And he came back to Moses' outstretched arm. May that not be said of us tonight, that there's nowhere for the Holy Spirit of God, represented by a dove, to land his feet, so to speak. That there's nowhere, there's no willing soul to say, Lord, here I am, full surrender, fall on me. May that not be said of us tonight. May he find somewhere to fall tonight. May he find individuals, young men, old men, young women, older women. May he find individual lives who are saying, God, here I am. This is what I've needed, Lord. I've loved you. I've known you. I believed in you. But God, I need your spirit to come upon me. Now, maybe you're in your seat and you're thinking, well, I've already experienced the in with upon relation with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I'm still struggling. Still not cutting it. Ephesians 5:18 is then for you. Be being filled with the Spirit of God. One baptism, many fillings. One baptism, many fillings. Maybe 10 years ago in youth group, you had the Holy Spirit come upon you. Maybe when I taught this last, you had the Holy Spirit come upon you. But like Peter and the disciples of old, as you treaded through this earth, this week, this month, this year, your feet have gotten dirty. And you need to sit down tonight and say, Jesus, wash my hands and my feet. And Jesus say, okay, I will. And you might say, no, Lord, wash all of me. And he'll tell you like he told them, that's not necessary. You've already had your whole self washed at salvation. You just need your hands and your feet washed. You need a good outpouring of my spirit upon you once again. Everybody with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, would you come there? I'll read to you the opening verses as you turn to Acts 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Real quick, this is in between the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord. It tells us here there were 40 days. And being assembled together, verse 4, with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but they should wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Did you see that? You're going to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. Were these guys already saved? Yes, absolutely they were. Absolutely they were. This is a second experience. When they therefore were come together, verse 6, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Their minds were completely elsewhere. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but rather you shall receive the power, the dunamis, the word that we get our word dynamite from, the ability to live the Christian life, that you receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What does that look like? What does it look like when a person has this power come upon them? Look at the next chapter, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, chapter 2, verse 1, they, the disciples, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised, verse 6, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How do we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And then it begins to mention all of the different sects of nationality there, all the way down to verse 11. He says, we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others were mocking, and they said, these men are full of new wine. They're wasted. They're drunk. Then Peter, it says in verse 14, remember, church, who Peter was. He was the one who was denying that he even knew the Lord before a little schoolgirl. He was the one who was swearing vehemently that he did not know Jesus. Remember, he denied the Lord three times. Just days before this event. But now, after the Holy Ghost came upon him, after the Holy Spirit just flooded him like the rains that come down from heaven, now this Peter's a new dude. Now he's a new man of God. Look what it says here. Peter stood up with the 11. Lifting up his voice, he said to them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose. It is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 a.m. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. You see that? The Bible is the best commentary of itself, isn't it? We went to Joel, now we're here in Acts. And I'll tell you the truth. I had no clue I was going to take you to Acts chapter 2. The Lord's just connecting dots for us. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He quotes what we just read. Middle of verse 17, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, it says, and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they will prophesy. What is prophecy? We are told in Revelation, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's the ability to speak of the name of Jesus in public, unashamedly, boldly, confidently. I love Jesus. Jesus saves. You need Jesus. It's the ability to do that in love. It's the empowerment to do that in love. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's the ability to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord with great power and vigor. The church is not vigorous right now. The church is lethargic right now. We need the power of the Spirit of God. We need him to fall on us tonight so that he lights us on fire for the name of Jesus, so that we are explosive in his hands, so that we are not cowards at work or in the neighborhood or with family and friends, but that we stand up, not back down, so that we stand up, not run away, so that we speak proudly and boldly, not hush before the crowds. And it continues the same, verse 19, Peter speaking, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. There the great and notable day of the Lord will come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. Hey, Peter's not seeker-friendly, is he? Peter's not worried about numbers here. He's preaching the God's honest truth. This is whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, verse 25, spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave thy soul in hell, neither will you suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Peter says, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, verse 31, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Then Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses because his spirit is on us. Listen, you're a lousy witness apart from the Holy Spirit being upon you. We don't have the backbone. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability to live for our Lord the way that he wants us to. The way that we see the early church doing so without us standing tonight saying, Holy Spirit, fall on us like rain. God, open the heavens and let your spirit descend down upon us here tonight on the west side of the building here at Calvary Chapel. Fall on us, Lord. Flood us with your presence tonight so that we can be your witnesses. The end result of this chapter, if you want to read it on your own later, is that 3,000 men were saved. The greatest Sunday preaching in the history of the church. Because a man was changed by the Spirit of God coming upon him. Listen, if you're looking to change tonight, if you're looking to sort of transition from being a coward into a mighty ambassador for the Lord, you need the Holy Spirit of God to fall upon you. It doesn't mean you're going to be up here next week preaching. It doesn't mean we're going to recognize a call in your life as a pastor and send you out. It just simply means that you're doing your diligence as a follower of our Lord. And you're saying, God, I want all that you have for me in this life. I don't want to reject. I don't want to neglect. I don't want to deny anything, Lord, that you are willing to give to me to further your kingdom. What does the church need tonight? What do you and I need tonight? We need the Holy Spirit to fall. Then you won't have to strive. Then you won't have to read self-help books. Then you won't have to give yourself a pep talk each morning. And honestly, truthfully, I'm not against these things, but you really will find yourself needing less even an accountability partner. The Holy Spirit of God, when he has you in his hands in the way that he wants to have you, he will haunt you until you get right with him. You don't need to pick up the phone and call your buddy that's struggling too and tell him about how much you're struggling. You got the Holy Spirit of God within you and upon you, and he has you in his hands. I can't even enjoy sin anymore. Every time I try to sin, the Lord just, he gets me right away by his Holy Spirit. I'm haunted by it. You have a choice tonight. You can sit here and you can say, I don't know. It's kind of weird. They spoke in tongues in the book of Acts. I've heard bad things. I heard tongues are of Satan. Well, first of all, let me, with all due respect, educate you. Tongues is a prayer language to God. It's a direct prayer language to God, and it's a form of praise and worship. Tongues is irrelevant to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. Many people have the Holy Spirit of God come upon them, and they never speak in tongues. Pastor Stevie, he doesn't have the gift of tongues, and he has definitely received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon him. There are many people that don't have the gift of speaking in tongues. It's a gift of the Spirit, and they haven't ceased. The gifts of the Spirit haven't ceased. That which is perfect is Jesus Christ, not the King James Version. But you see, what's happened is the church has experienced such abuse. We've seen people come in and take the pulpit and act like animals up there, and barking and growling and slaying and knocking people over. You never see that in the Scriptures, do you? You don't see Jesus knocking people over. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, did he knock him down? Was Jesus barking in the water and fluttering his hands? It was calm. It was gentle. It wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. And a dove isn't that way. Pastor Bill Gallatin always says the Holy Spirit comes upon you like a dove, not an elephant. And that's the truth. You see, what happened is, though, as much of the church, specifically the Pentecostal church, they've sort of taken these things and they've ran away with them and they've abused them. So then you have the other side of the church that is more conservative, typically the Baptist church. And I know there's different sects within baptism, but I'm speaking by large right now, by denominations. They've gone more conservative. They said the gifts have ceased for the day and we don't embrace these things. And they've cut themselves off from these things and they get spooked when a person speaks. Where we lie tonight is based on God's word. Safety, the Proverbs say, is in the balance. We don't run around the stage acting like crazy people, but we also embrace all that God has for us. You see, what happens when you don't have the Holy Spirit upon you and you seek to serve him, not only do you do it in your own flesh, and not only do you strive, but also you don't have the love of God that you need. Remember, Jesus came in grace and in truth. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God upon you, if he doesn't have you in his hands, you're very harsh. A person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit upon them, they're very harsh. They might be saying very true things doctrinally. They might be right on theoretically, but they're very harsh in their presentation. And they come off very legalistic. You struggle with that? You're still doing that? And what really irks me is when people do that to sinners. Sinners that haven't become saints yet are supposed to sin. They're doing their job well, sinning. That's what they're supposed to do, honestly. They're not enlightened yet. The baptism of the Holy Spirit essentially is when God just overwhelms you with his love so much so that he empowers you to speak forth in his name. It's a love thing. Are you with me? It's that you love people so much that you're willing to speak on the behalf of Jesus. You love people so much that you would rather tell them about the truth of where they're going to spend eternity than you do about your own reputation and image and what others are going to think of you. You love Jesus so much that before a crowd of 200, you tell them the God's honest truth instead of tickle their ears. And a person that doesn't have God's Spirit upon them, they lack that love. And you can hear it in their presentation of the gospel. You can hear that in their one-on-one witnessing. They don't have that love. It's the love of God, Paul said, that constrains me. It's the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, Romans 2 says, that leads us to repentance. So if we don't have the love of God shedding abroad in our hearts, overflowing within us, because his Spirit is so heavily upon us, we're not serving God justly. Do you all agree? So what we do tonight now, we'll just stop here. And we'll invite JD and Michael and the band up. And we'll have a couple minutes of God, where am I at tonight? Where do I relate to your Spirit tonight? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've missed the mark of perfection. I need you to save me. There's no way that I'll ever get to heaven apart from your complete work of the cross at Calvary. You need to agree with God about you. that you're a sinner and that he alone is the Savior. The Spirit of God is telling you as I'm speaking, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. The Bible says don't harden your hearts when you hear the truth. Because every time you harden it, your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. And the same sun that warms our hearts hardens the clay every time we reject it. Or if you're here tonight and God's Spirit has come in you already and you are saved, but you haven't had God's Spirit come upon you. So you're a person by definition. You ask, I believe in Jesus. I raise my hand when you ask before. I believe the Bible's true. Hey, absolutely. But you're a person that's living compromised. You're a person that is 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church. You date unsafe people. You got a foul mouth. You watch things you shouldn't watch. You are drunk with wine instead of filled with God's Spirit. You're doing everything opposite of what a Spirit-filled believer looks like. It doesn't mean you're not saved tonight. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying then you need to get with God and say, God, pour out your Spirit upon me. God, I don't want to just have you in my hands anymore, like a thermometer where I adjust lower and higher as I see fit. But Lord, I want to be in your hands fully. I want you to take me tonight, Lord, from head to toe. I want to be all yours. I want to be all in tonight. I want the rain of the Spirit of God just to fall on me so I'm soaked and wet in your Spirit. I want more of you, Jesus. Or if you're here tonight, lastly, you're like Peter. Lord, my feet just got dirty this week. I've said some stupid things. I've had some bad thoughts. I've messed up. God, I need you to wash me and fill me afresh with your Spirit. We all are in one of those places. You've got to identify. So I'm going to hang here and ask the Lord, what he wants me to do next? How to close this right now with you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.